Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. Oh, but wait. First, before that.
before you go and start enjoying yourself.
Hey, Kellen, how do we get these fine sponsors?
Well, as always, folks, we are part of the Chicago Podcasting Co-op. That is a cooperation, not a network. No matter what you think, this is not a network. Right. This is not
I think we're the only podcast that stresses on this.
Well, it's very important. It's very confusing.
These other ones, and they're like, they didn't tell me if it was a network.
Look, I don't want to listen to
some
network.
They didn't even make the distinction between the two.
We're a cooperation of podcasts and producers of product services in Chicagoland area, and we connect you with entertainment and great services and products.
What if it was called a cooperative of podcasts? Like, that's the plural form, like a murder of crows or
whatever.
Sure.
Like
Council
that.
Of Ravens.
Yes.
We are
like
a
murder
cooperative
of
podcasts.
That's good. We're a cooperative.
Are cooperative gardens the one where everybody comes and pitches in?
Yes, or it's a large no,
that's
sort of plot.
That's a city dump, Tim.
I'm thinking of city dumps. Yeah. That's right.
I'm thinking of city dumps.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen me, I'm that guy that goes around city dumps planting seeds.
Yeah,
the
Johnny
single
tear
in
Chicago.
His eye. Wearing a tin pot on his head.
Uh-huh.
His
That's me.
Taking bags of Doritos and planting them in the ground, hoping that lovely trees grow.
There's a whole bunch of shows that are part of the Chicago mm-hmm. Podcast Co-op. And the one that we want to talk about today is Improvised Star Trek. They've been around for a while. They put on a great show. They do live shows from time to time as well. And check it out. It's The Adventures of the Sisyphus, which our guest, Matt Young, is a part of. Folks,
spoiler alert for this podcast.
Oh, God.
Matt Young is on.
But, hey, Kellen, what else do we need to go over?
Oh, we have to go over our little pact with you, the listener. Thanks for that great... Great
solid segue.
Tim.
What else do I need
gosh.
To say, Adam?
If you're not excited already, boy, will you be.
Well, folks, we're going to make a plea to you to get on iTunes. Yes, that's the Apple Computer Programming System's internet music system, which allows you to listen to CDs
I don't
on
think we have
phones.
To explain everything to them. They know how this part works.
Well, folks, if you leave us a review on iTunes, we read it on the air.
That's right.
And, folks, after months of no reviews.
A dry spell.
Dry spell right here. We got our 14th positive review.
Hey-o.
Let me tell you this. This is title is Not Just for Gamers, and it's from Matt K. of Chicago. Gives us 5 stars. But I got to say, guys, Matt K. may not be listening to the podcast.
Okay.
This is a great podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Yeah.
I'm not much of a gamer, but the two hosts' chemistry plus an interesting conversation not 100% related to video games kept me interested. You should listen.
What, do you think he just listened to our news episode?
I'm sure that's where most people tune out. Oh, you should also follow the Nerdlogs on Patreon.
Yes.
Because they're
hardworking
people.
We have someone who comes and talks about that. He's a new character on our show.
Yeah.
Patreon the Robot. How's
Patreon
it going?
Patreon the Robot, yeah.
Hello.
How's it
Glad
going,
Glad to be back.
Good.
It is I, Patreon.
Yes, all hail
You
Patreon.
Will all hail. Thank you. All right. Well, that's most of Patreon's deal, so you said it.
How
really makes Patreon feel like... Patreon doesn't need to be here if you're
going
to say Patreon's thing, you know?
No, Patreon. You say all hail Patreon, and we say
all hail
Patreon.
How was
right?
your weekend?
Kind of beat me to it, though. Hadn't said it yet. So
please answer how
Patreon
was your weekend?
Will remember that.
Right, Patreon.
Patreon's trying to artfully dodge the weekend question.
Patreon,
it wasn't great for
something
Patreon.
Happened weird? Okay. Did something weird happen this weekend?
Well, Patreon, as you know, is very sensitive. To criticism.
Oh boy.
Patreon read a 4-star review of this podcast and got bummed out. Yes, that's how much Patreon holds the line of perfection.
Sorry, Patreon. Sorry.
You have disappointed Patreon.
All hail Patreon.
All hail Patreon. Well, hey, thanks,
that's
buddy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, no problem. Also, I'm a girl. Let's remember.
We know.
I keep forgetting.
You
that.
Call me
I
buddy.
Don't.
That's a little demeaning.
But
anyway, Patreon's going
to
go.
It's a very cis thing to say, Tim. Sorry, Patreon.
Can I say buddy to women, though?
I mean, you know, if they allow you to.
And Patreon doesn't. Okay, Patreon's leaving now.
Mm-hmm. You're just showing your privilege by calling them a gender-centric.
You're right.
It's okay.
I think we've nailed this pre-show, though.
Oh, we've nailed it to something, Tim.
Oh, God, is this still the pre-show?
It is.
Oh, God.
Here's the show, everybody.
Yay!
Now you may enjoy. Hey
Hey, everybody. It's old Clayton here. Just wanted to sit you down and tell you a story. A story about three Chicago quote-unquote comedians who decided they were going to start a podcast called Talking Games. And Clayton Margeson and
Kellen Tarrett
and
Tim Dunn and
Clayton Margeson. here are this four-man crew. But no, we also bring in guests sometimes, like Matt Young over here. Yeah.
Woo. Hey, Matt. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. This is going to be super fun.
Yes.
Very jazzed.
Yeah. I can guarantee you it's going to be fun. I can't guarantee the content of the product. Anyway.
Oh,
but
my.
I'm talking just to Matt right now. Listen,
oh, okay.
Don't listen.
Not to the listener.
Matt. Thank you, because I don't like going into a situation where I know what the product is going to
be.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Guys, you are just listening.
Is that hard buying your groceries that way?
Yeah. Yeah. I go on Instacart now, and I'm just like, bring me whatever you want.
Yeah, really have fun. Spice
Here's
it up.
Here's $50 on groceries, whatever you want to bring.
So many coconuts.
I ordered coconuts as a placeholder. You were supposed to get other stuff.
Boy.
All right. We also like to ask, so we're going to get into some stuff later, but first, we always start the podcast the same way, which is, what are you playing right now? Matt, what are you playing?
Right now, I'm playing a couple games, a few months ago, on a bizarre whim, I decided to purchase a Wii U.
Oh, okay.
I threw down on a Wii U, and
yeah,
I got...
I did something similar to this.
Yeah, because I was like, and I got the special Wind Waker edition, because I was like, I'm going to replay Wind Waker. I love Wind Waker. I love The Legend of Zelda. I started playing the game and got like 5 minutes into it. I'm like, I don't need to play this game again.
No.
But now that I've got a Wii U... I'm also obsessed with all of the Lego games.
Oh, fun. Oh. Okay, yeah.
Because they're really fun. They're really simple. They're really brainless. And when I'm – a lot of times, like, I want to, like, do something that's kind of, like, fun but satisfying. And I'm playing the – there's one that's exclusive to Wii U that is Lego City Undercover.
Ooh.
So it's, like, not even, like, a branded, like – Batman or
sure.
Marvel superheroes or whatever.
Undercover.
It's just general Lego City, like the Lego City sets, and you're playing like an undercover cop, and it's the weirdest, like, it's potentially like aimed towards kids and families, and it is referencing like 90s cops movies.
Gritty
cops. Yeah. The Matrix. There's like a Matrix bit in it that you're
funny.
Is just bizarre.
Who is this for?
I love it.
Yeah.
But actually, all the Lego games I think are always really fun and kind of inventive. And as someone who kind of like dabbles in all sorts of games and gameplay, I just like the way that they like kind of find different ways to mix up what seems like it would be the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. I'm just imagining like the guy getting his like hand broken with like a cue ball. And it's just like, are you a cop? Are you a cop? And they just kind of look at each other and shrug. Yeah,
you don't know how accurate that is. Like that's almost right on.
There's a scene where it's Lego Town, Matt. Lego.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope that's the end.
If
that's
would
not
be the
end,
that would be amazing.
If that's not the end, I'm going to be very disappointed. There's a point where Starsky and Hutch show up, but they've
really?
Got like, slightly different
that's
names.
Hilarious.
And then, like, for some reason, your character gets into like this 70s like pimp gear, and you're like, what is going on?
It almost sounds like Grant or not
it's a
Grant.
Game. It's a Wii U exclusive as well. That's
it. Almost sounds like Saints Row or something. Oh. You know? Like that level.
It's
just
like
absurdity.
A little bit trying to be like Grand Theft Auto for kids. Mm-hmm. It's so weird.
That's
it's such
so
a weird
good.
Mix up of things.
I love this.
And I'm playing a bunch of mobile games. I've been playing obsessively. There are three games that I've kind of gotten hooked on. Marvel Puzzle Quest, which is just a dumb match three game, but I get to be Cyclops.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
Which version of
Cyclops? Too.
Oh, I actually have two versions of Cyclops.
Okay. Yeah,
one is the 90s, like, Jim Lee Cyclops, and the other one is, like, the modern, like, black and red, like, very sleek, and he's a total badass.
Nice.
like, you activate his red power, and he, like, just murders everybody.
Is there a story to Marvel Puzzle Quest?
There is the slightest
suggestion
of a story. you're making matches,
but then
like your meters fill up, and then you can activate powers. So you just like all the characters have like three powers that activate, and then you can like kind of clear stuff off the board, or you're fighting enemies. And like,
oh, so it's a puzzle
points.
Fighter, or is
it's a puzzle
okay,
fighter?
Cool,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. And then I'm playing another thing called Spellstone, which I think I'm almost done with. That's like a card collecting game where you like, it's like card trading.
Sure,
fighting.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I'm really obsessed with Adventure Capitalist, which I saw at PAX a couple weeks ago. It is the weirdest like non-game game of like you don't really do much other than like click on these meters to like make money. But then you can hire a manager that will like run the meter for you, so you don't even have to click on the meter after a while. So you're just making money to try to make more money to try to buy more things, and you can kind of just like walk away from it and come back.
It'll
like,
run itself.
It'll yeah. run yeah. itself, and you come back a few hours later, and you're like, "Oh, I made 100." Also, the other good thing about it is I'm learning all of the numbers above a billion.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Okay. So there's billion, mm-hmm. trillion.
Yes.
You probably knew that one.
Yeah.
Quadrillion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Quintillion.
Okay.
Sextillion.
Sextillion.
Whoa! Septillion. Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!
Septillion. Yeah, yeah. Octillion.
Nonillion.
Nonillion. That really?
Yeah. Decillion.
Decillion. Okay.
Decillion.
Decillion.
Undecillion. Duodecillion. Tridecillion. I'm all the way up to like now. I'm at.
Good lord.
Untrigillion.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So similar question. Is there a story?
I'm making so much money. No, there is no fucking story.
Just make money.
Just make money.
Yeah.
Eventually, you start to unlock other areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like once you kind of like have bought everything you can buy on Earth, you can start buying you can start buying companies on the moon.
Oh.
Wow.
And then you're running companies on the moon. But it's the exact same thing. You're just switching to a different screen with different meters.
Yeah.
So there's no like, hey, Earth people, you've done it. You've made it to the moon. They're not even celebrating that. They're just like, here's another place for you to make money.
Amazing.
It's really weirdly addictive.
Silly question.
Yes.
How much does this game cost?
I believe it's free.
It's a free
oh,
game.
Wow.
And there's in-app purchases
okay.
for sure. And I haven't done those.
Mm-hmm.
But you can buy gold that you can then like trade in for other bonuses and things
to just get more money with, seemingly, just, right?
Yeah.
I'm just really good at
this
making money.
This game is based on the gold standard, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Man shall not be crucified upon a cross of gold.
Have you ever fallen prey,
William James Bryan, I think,
to buying the in-app purchase for one of those types of games?
When I was first playing Marvel Puzzle Quest, there was a you collect like comic book covers to get new characters.
Oh yeah,
and they'd be like, "It's gonna be gone in 4 days," and I'd be like, "Oh, I don't have another slot for that character. Oh my god, I've got to have the version of Storm that's got a mohawk. Sure, I've got these other two Storms, mm-hmm. but I need her.
I need that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's going to make my life.
Yeah, so
that does sound like something I would also fall prey to. If there was a time limit on it, that would make it a lot tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've definitely spent – that was a game that I played for like almost a year and a half. I still play it occasionally. So if I spent like $40 on that game over a year and a half,
oh,
I
totally
feel like
worth it. Yeah.
That's not the worst thing I've ever done. It also feels totally ridiculous and embarrassing.
Sure. No, I remember Plants vs. Zombies 2. I came very close to spending money on that one. But I was like, no, on principle. Like, I will not. Like, you should have just made a game that I paid $5 for.
Right. Right.
But you texted me. It was like 5
I did.
Yeah.
Late at night, too.
See, I don't have the support system. I needed somebody I could be like, I'm thinking about doing this. And they would have just been like, no. Don't
Matt, you can always contact us.
Thank you.
We will either encourage you or discourage you to
right.
do that.
Yeah.
Tim,
way.
What are you playing right now?
For mobile stuff, I've been playing this game that Lisa got me into called The Eighth Continent. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
It is bizarre. It's like The Road. Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Sure.
But like a, trying to think the best way to, describe it. Kind of like an 80 Days Inkle
okay.
Studios
okay.
kind of thing.
Okay.
Like choose your own adventure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's like health and like morale that you got to keep up. But I honestly, like, I keep wondering if there's – I'm going to flip a page and I'm going to realize this is a Christian game. And I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. But maybe, like, the apocalypse that happened is, like, the angels coming down or something like that. Because it's all very vague. So it's either, like, a Lost kind of a thing or, like, this was created by, like, a very Christian game developer. Either way, they're doing a great job. Yeah. It's really cool. It's got, like, a card-based combat system and –
The Eighth Continent.
The Eighth Continent. I think it might be free, or it's like $1. It's real cheap.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah. I would definitely check it out. Beyond
instead
that,
of in-app purchases, there's like an in-pew bonus. No. It's like if they get your butt into a church somehow, you can
yeah, they geolocates to a yeah, church yeah. or whatever.
We noticed
you gotta
that
stay
you
the full
playing
time,
this game.
Man. Can't just leave in the middle of it. Right. But we're gonna track that. Take that money back.
You went to a Catholic church, so it's a little. It's a half step.
And then on a flash sale recently, I got this game called Rogue Galaxy for PS2, which is totally okay. It's just, it's like just a JRPG in space,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, it's hitting all the like JRPG buttons in my mm-hmm. brain,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
but I don't know.
Interesting.
It's just not, I don't know.
It, you know, you should check out.
What's that?
If you want to play a JRPG.
No, I think we can skip whatever
we
you're
can
about
skip
to talk
whatever
about.
You're going
to
talk
about.
I'm actually so curious.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt, because I think Legend of Heroes
so
Trails in the
so
Sky. Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky, and then, of course, Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky, second chapter.
Are you playing that already?
No, those are both done.
Okay. Yeah.
Those
have been done for a while.
Playing.
He's playing
Trails
of Cold Steel.
We'll get to what I'm playing in my own time, all right? But no, yeah, you should check those out. If you like
one other thing. I think I still have it on my phone. It's a another Inkle Studios game. Dead Men. It's a pirate-based
what?
Like choose-your-own-adventure
really?
Game by the people who made 80 Days.
I gotta
so.
Play
it's
all
really
these
cool.
games. That looks amazing.
That sounds
yeah.
fun.
That does sound great.
Clayton, I had a hankering for playing a JRPG, and
really?
I wanted to play those games, but I can't play it on a Mac.
No.
And I don't have a PS2 or a PS3, so I can't play those games either. So I had the interest of finally doing this drug that you've been talking about for the last 9 months of this show. And I couldn't.
Oh, goodness.
So what did I do? I went on YouTube, and I watched videos of people playing it.
Isn't that great?
Which felt like the meth of video games. I mean, like, I'm not getting the enjoyment of playing this. I'm watching other people play it. This is really weird.
Yeah.
But I was still doing it. I couldn't stop.
So I got to buy a PlayStation Vita and just like pass it around yeah. with all these yeah. games on.
I don't have the time. I feel like I don't have the time or patience to play those games mm-hmm. anymore. Like, I think they're really mm-hmm. cool, and I'm always like, I want to get into them, but
right.
then I like, can't like –
commit
mm-hmm. the time yeah. to him. And then but then a couple years ago, I think it was a couple years ago now, I played Ni no Kuni,
yeah.
which
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
is like one of my all-time mm-hmm. favorite games. I can't wait for them to actually come out with a sequel to that.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Is that supposed to come out this year or next year?
I think it's this year.
I don't know.
They announced it. I can't remember.
They announced it. I don't remember.
You never know with E3. Also, The Last Guardian is supposed to come out this year. So
wait,
who the
for
fuck
real?
Knows? Yeah. They said 2016.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long has that been in the making?
I mean,
not
a decade?
A decade.
Maybe?
Not as long as Final Fantasy 15. That's
right.
been a decade.
Sure. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
That is weird to remember that Final Fantasy 15
is finally coming out.
That's crazy.
Yes, yes, yes.
What are you playing? Anything else? Or
I was playing the Overwatch beta and I was enjoying it. It is it's the perfect Blizzard first person shooter game. Like, it's shallow and fun, and the encounters are great, and there's not much to it, and that's all it needs to be. It was scratching the same part of my video game brain that like Hearthstone does. And I was like, I can really like getting into this, but I was telling Tim before the show that I've been so brainwashed by games like Destiny and The Division that unless I'm progressing towards something or unless I'm grinding painfully to get some sort of exclusive gear, it doesn't feel like a game to me. And
right.
it's like, I actually had to reach out to some people on Reddit, be like, is it weird that I feel like this isn't a game if it doesn't do this? They're like, no, it's not weird. You should just be able to play this game and enjoy it. So
I'm enjoying this right in the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm not,
I'm not,
it's very weird.
This doesn't feel like
me.
A job. I'm just having fun. I feel like video games are about stressing about things.
I have had moments like that before. Where, yeah, like where I'll play like even Spelunky or something mm-hmm. like that. But then I could be like, well, I'm like getting more skillful at it or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have a thing in my head of like, if I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything,
right.
like, then it truly feels like a waste of time.
Or tricking your brain into thinking you're...
Yeah, exactly.
That's
I'm
the
being
reason why we play
somewhat
video
productive.
Games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, but that's just doing that. And then I was... my mom was at my house this weekend, and she randomly asked me about Rocket League. How my 64-year-old mother knows
this.
About Rocket League?
I
she's like,
so
what's this Rocket League I hear about? And I'm like, okay. So I fired up Rocket League, and she's like, this is great. Can I try? And that was really fun. So
how old is she
64.
At the Rocket League?
Oh, what? How is she?
Yeah.
How old is she?
How old is
she?
She's 64.
Oh, my bad.
It sounded like you said, how old is she?
She was not terrible, but it's really hard with Rocket League because it's such a shit show for most people, except for the Michael Jordans who can like do all these crazy aerials
sure.
and stuff. Because I showed her the game, and then I found some YouTube clips of what you can do in the game, and she's blown away by that. So, still don't know how she knew about Rocket League.
Does she have interest in other games?
No, not really.
Like, so
she's like, that's a PlayStation 4, right? I'm like, yeah. She's like, is there a game called Rocket League on PlayStation 4? I think like on the train in Portland, she heard some kids talking about Rocket League. I'm not sure.
What if your mom is like getting into games like late in life?
I would love that.
That'd be great,
that.
Right?
I would absolutely love that. If my mom was like, oh, well, this, you know, this game's not hardcore enough, you know. I don't know why everyone's so excited about Persona 5, you know. You know, the translation's not going to be right, you know.
That'd
be insane.
If I came home
this
for,
Borderlands yeah. prequel sucks.
Yeah. Gearbox should not be wasting their time on MOBAs, come on.
All right, Clayton.
Yeah, what have you been playing?
What have you been all playing?
Right. I finally beat Legend of
Yuri.
Oh,
my God. Congratulations.
Wow.
Thank you.
This is a huge step.
The
this
end,
is exciting.
I think, was 5 hours long. It is the
Wait,
longest.
What?
It's a bunch of cutscenes with you running around a little bit in between. Culminates in, like, the craziest thing I've ever seen at the end of a game, I think.
All right, spoilers.
Like,
I need to know. I need to,
the whole. Well, it's not so crazy. Like, I mean, there are games where like the end, the world, the universe gets
sure,
blown up,
right,
whatever.
Sure.
But it for the tone of the game, it was insane. Like, it was so outlandish. So
wait, what?
Go
this
ahead.
Is the one where you're like a high school kid, but crazy shit's
yeah.
happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but like,
right.
you know, some magic stuff is happening. Some political intrigue is afoot.
Sure.
You're trying to fight these like terrorists or whatever. At the end, the terrorists assassinate the, like, spoiler alert for anyone playing this game. They assassinate the Chancellor, who's, like, a huge character in the game. No one has been killed on screen until this point, and you're like, what the fuck? So he gets, like, just straight up, like, shot with a sniper rifle in the middle of a speech. Like, then giant robots come out of the sky and take over the town. There have been no robots in this game, giant or otherwise. It's, all like, right. totally, you know, it's like a steampunk thing,
yeah.
and suddenly it's, like, robots are dropping out of the sky, and you're like, what the fuck? And they're like Gundams where there's like a dude in the chest like controlling
sure.
them. And you're like, what the fuck? And like everyone you've ever fought is a part of this group. They take over the country immediately. The end of the game is like you basically realizing like, oh man, like we're totally fucked. And then you get a giant robot and it's like, what?
What?
There's more to this game? And it just keeps going. And you fight people with a giant robot and I'm like, well, what's going to happen next? And then like the end is like you have to survive. And then like that's the cuts to credits and like a hard rock song plays where it's like, there's been no rock and roll. It was like they brought on like a creative team for just the last like tiny chunk of the game and they were like, just do whatever you want, like just anything you want to do. And they were like, okay, what if it's giant robots and a fucking guitar solo at the end to signify the end? And it was, they're just okay, sure, no problem. So I'm just sitting there, I'm stunned, I couldn't believe it. And it's like your main character's like, but I want to stay, like to help people. And then it like cuts to black.
Wow.
Was it done with a sense of humor or very serious?
No.
Okay.
100% deathly serious.
Wow.
It was unreal. Like they interrupt a party to be like, our nation is at war. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's kind of makes sense. It's like, all right, that makes sense at the end of the game. Then it just keeps going and gets crazier and crazier to the point that you're like, what am I watching? And I'm not playing anything at this point. It's just cutscenes.
So it must pick up
wild.
In the sequel, right?
It's got
it
to.
It has
yeah.
to.
And the first one ended with, like, kind, you know, a cliffhanger, but not a huge one. This time it was like, nope, we're going balls of the wall, introduce a million new elements right at the very end, and then be like, this is just a taste of part two, bro. Like, we're out.
Is that
so weird?
Are those elements something that you're interested in playing in the sequel?
100%. Like, they were really fun. That was the thing. It was like these duels where you would punch like a different part of the body and get combo moves and stuff, but with a JRPG style that was like, this is really fun. I wish they'd introduced this earlier. And then it's like cut to credits. Fuck you.
But is
like,
is it a total change in gameplay?
Not completely.
Okay.
The battle system still has a lot of stuff that carries over.
Okay.
But it's just like, it's enough to make it like, oh, this is a cool twist on what you've been doing with this game.
Okay.
So that's what I liked about it. I was like, wow, you're showing innovation before the sequel. And then it's like, I guess that was just what you wanted to do in the sequel. Why didn't you do that for the full fucking game? Like, stuff like that. It's very weird.
Well, it's
but
like
really
a,
fun.
It's like a Marvel post-credit scene.
Yeah,
almost,
right.
You know, it's like, hey, you're going to get to do this. Bye.
Yep.
Only it showed no sign of slowing down. It was like, nope, this game's still going. I'm like, What am I even? What's going on? Yeah. But it was so fun. I had a great time playing it. And I wound up picking up, or I already had it, but playing for the first time, the new Fire Emblem game.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'm playing Birthright, which
is that the harder one or
that's the easier one? Okay. Which also is, it seems to be more the like kind of straightforward one where you, it's like at the end, at one point, like end of the first chapter, you know, or the first act, you choose which side you go to. Mm-hmm. And there are, there's the evil side, but they're like all your friends and they're like, they seem kind of interesting, or the good side. And they're all like super cool too. So it's a lot about like, okay, do I betray these old friends or go with these new friends?
Sure.
Is sort of the idea, but it's also like, they're kind of ignoring the fact that it's like, this side is clearly the good side. And the other side is clearly like pure fucking evil. Like the dude just like murdering people outright all the time. And it's like, hey, I gotta go with the good side, right? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, if you want to do the bad side, you have to buy the other game. I'm like, that's so bizarre.
Yeah.
That's why it's like so crazy, because it really is two completely different games, but like built into one story.
If you buy the other game, do you get to that same decision point? Is that like that first act the same?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. That's interesting.
All right, that's what I understand it
to
be.
So you need to have
both, played
both, really, if you want to.
If you want to play both, though. But that's the thing. I'm like, I don't even know. Like after sort of encountering it a little bit, it's like I don't know if I want to play with the villain side, mm-hmm. just because it's like I already kind of am getting attached to my side that I chose, which was sort of a similar thing in like The Witcher 3, mm-hmm. where I was like, Witcher 2, where I was like, I kind of don't want to choose the other side because I like these guys more because I've spent more time with them. Or actually, in Witcher 2, it was more like, I hate these guys. I wish you'd gone with those guys. Yeah. They seem much better. And then I replayed it, and I was like, I love this game now. Yeah. I don't know what my problem was.
The news about Fire Emblem and, what was it, Animal Crossing coming to iOS and Android. Those are the two games.
What?
Yeah. They're after Miitomo came out, Nintendo is now going to be releasing full games of.
That's incredible.
It's like, oh, what are two games that are going to work on mobile?
Animal Crossing
and Fire Emblem that will work completely well. Yeah, so that's later this year.
I had a girlfriend whenever GameCube and that first Animal Crossing was out, and all we did was fuck with the time controls to try to listen to that stupid dog sing songs to us. That's all we did. We never said a word to each other.
No, that was it. That was it.
Yeah. What? That's super exciting.
Yeah,
actually.
It is. I think it's really. And
it's the original Fire Emblem, right?
Well, I don't know if they've said it's a game, like what game, if it's a new game or if it's a port.
Okay.
But
I assume they're
work.
Just going to port it out.
I would imagine,
because
you can so easily do that for a.
Yeah.
And why
release new content when you have all this old content and you can bring it over?
Oh, God.
And just like update it.
It's the difference between spending like, you know, $5 million on a game and like $30 million or something.
It's been a long time since I played the first Fire Emblem, but it is
so good.
It still holds up?
Yeah.
Nice.
It is. I mean, well, I don't know if it still holds up. It's been a long time, but I really liked it. When I was like a kid, I was like, this is fucking all I want to play.
The permadeath thing in those games always threw me off. Like,
yeah.
I would obsessively have to reload them and stuff like that.
I had that problem too. But that was like part of the fun. It like built the tension. I'm like, I really want to keep these people alive.
But I mean, there's a level of permadeath that is kind of false in the sense where it's like if someone dies in your team, like they will then add a different character onto your team that is similar, right?
I don't remember in the original. Like, I know they do that in some of them.
In some of them where it's like if you lose like one of your archers or your distance people, another one shows up. It's not the same character, but it's essentially that same role.
They've backed off of that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Now it's like you choose like, listen, if someone dies, I want them to just come right back to life, which is like a setting on this one. I'm like, all right, well, cool. That's good, you know, getting new people into it. And but my favorite thing is that they've really focused heavily on relationships. So now you're trying to get people together so that they'll have a kid and then your kid will grow up immediately and join your party and will have like different stats based on who his parents were.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
This is like a popular thing in Japan right now, apparently, and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
That's
a few
like
RPGs
Agarest
that.
Games
yes.
do this. I found it like really kind of tedious at first, but now I'm like really investing in these people's relationships and imagining like, it's like, oh man, he just saw her take like a bad hit. He's pissed off, dude. He's going to get in there, like, fuck this guy up. And yeah, like there's no, in the game, it's very limited. They talk about like one thing three times. And it's like, now they're going to get married. And it's like, all right. But I invent these stories in my head of like, this dude's like a jealous motherfucker. He doesn't like you healing his girl, dude. You should back off, motherfucker. Like, I ain't going to heal that motherfucker. no, man. Like, you talk to my girl. I don't like that. Stuff like that.
So they grow up and join your party right away. Does that mean that you're both the same age?
Yes, which I think is so fucking weird. I can't even explain it. Mm-hmm. Like, you miss this kid's entire life until he's your age, and then he just shows up, and he's like, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm here to, like, fight in the party now. And it's like, well, hey, man, sorry. So like, like, so like sorry I put you to work right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, or 20 years will just instantly pass for these kids because they're in, like, a different dimension.
Oh, sure. Okay, this is making more sense.
But then, but that means they live all those years, you know? It's not
without
like
their parents.
Age me. Yeah, they're just like, hey, I guess I'm here to help you because I'm your fucking slave or some shit. I've never met you before. Yeah, like, if I was that kid, I'd be so pissed off.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
It's like, what is that? Like, on the New Mutants, that's like magic? Or there's one of those characters that's it's Colossus' sister. That's the same thing happened to her.
Yeah.
Oh.
All the 90s time travel X-Men nonsense. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Cable.
There's something really interesting about that concept, but I want to see a game where it's like some people age out of it. Like, your parents are like, we're old and we're tired. And it's like, man, you got to finish this quest because I am done. I am done.
That's the have you played Rogue Legacy?
No.
That's great because it's when you die, your kid shows up to avenge you.
Oh, cool.
So like an entire like, you know, probably like 500 generations like die in this castle before it's finally defeated. And I'm like, God, can you even imagine?
Like, just the wives that are like, don't go. Don't go to this castle.
We
okay?
know what's going to happen.
Beg of you.
Please.
Like, just leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Who cares, man? Like,
no,
like,
no, I got to go.
I got to go feed that same eyeball monster like eight generations have died against.
It's the principle, Mom. It's the principle. That game is so fun because you have those weird random traits that get passed on too.
Yeah,
where it's like you'll have a character, if they're colorblind, everything is black and white,
or
like
the one, right?
Oh. Yeah.
The Matrix one.
Yeah, yeah. It's very tongue in cheek. Yeah,
or dragons. Oh,
yeah,
that's a solid.
One of my favorites is like Vertigo or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So it's like they'll like jump in the air and just kind of like wobble a little bit as you try to land them, and you're like, fuck me. Oh, it's so funny.
They're really good.
I love that game.
There's an ADD one too, where it's like the character will constantly be moving.
Yeah.
So it's like if you stay still, the character will still move back and forth.
Those
it
are
won't
like
stop moving.
Jitter around.
No.
Oh, boy.
Let's just talk about that. No.
Yeah.
A couple of news items that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So Nintendo announced early last week on a stock call, like, you know, to their investors, saying that they were going to barely have a presence at E3, and the NX, Nintendo's new system, would not be there, and that the NX was coming out in March of 2017. And that the only game they are going to be showing at E3 is the upcoming Legends of Zelda that will be on both the Wii U and the NX.
Motherfuckers.
Awful.
No.
Awful.
Yes. So not only are we not going to give you the new system, we're not going to... Well, the game that's been delayed more than a year, we're going to show it on the Wii U, a system that is dying.
Yeah.
And we're also not going to show that same game on the new system that everyone wants to play.
No, but it's also the game, the system they developed it for. It's the same shit they did with Twilight Princess, where it's like, they made this for GameCube, they put it on Wii, it played better on the GameCube, and...
it's weird.
That's
it's really weird.
So that's one of my favorite franchises.
Yeah. Is Legends a compendium or is it a new Zelda adventure?
Well, I don't think. Well, they keep saying we're only going to show Legends of Zelda, and there's some rumors being like, well, they're going to show all these remastered versions of games.
Okay.
Like they're going to do the same thing that they did with Link Between Worlds, where they're going to re-release kind of like some other like original or like
Ocarina.
They'll
Mask.
Do some different stuff like that
right.
because it's the same way. Like last year was the year of Mario. This is the year of like of Zelda that way. So who knows? I just think it's an interesting step for Nintendo for. To only show one game, and it's not Smash, and it's not Mario Kart or Splatoon, a game at an industry show where a lot of people can play. Like that's a story-based game. It's very strange to see that, and most people may not buy the game despite the fact that they want to because they know that the NX is coming out later that year, and then it's also strange to think that the NX is going to – there's no games coming up for Wii for the holiday season.
Wii U?
For the Wii U, excuse me.
Okay.
And that – the Wii, the NX is going to come out in March. So there's no boost for Nintendo for the holiday season.
No, that's huge to miss out on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why they're... How soon does that mobile stuff come out? Maybe they're expecting that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, well, we'll do the mobile stuff, and you know, there'll be more like classic games coming out. And they're also saying it's like a lot of this stuff is going to finally be like NX is going to launch with like 50 titles, and it will be like, here's your Zelda, here's your Mario, here's your Metroid, here's your Donkey Kong, here's Splatoon, here's Mario Maker. All these games will come out. So when they launch, they have a full catalog already available.
I know we've talked about this before. Do we have we heard it confirmed that it's going to be VR capable?
So I think it's not VR. The idea is rather than having a 3DS and a Wii or a Wii U, it's a handheld that you work the same way you have like the gamepad with the Wii, and you're like, great, I'm gonna go to work now, and you just take it with you, and it translates that way.
That's cool.
But the fact that we are not going to have an E3 conference where that is answered for us. And E3 is a little over a month away.
I just can't imagine coming out with a new console right now and not having it be VR capable. Like, and maybe that's just overestimating what VR is going to be.
I mean, is there a VR game right now that you want to play?
No.
Yeah.
It's, but, like, wouldn't you want to play any of them, too?
I mean, like Skyrim.
You just want to check them out.
Is Skyrim VR capable at this point? Because I'd play that. I mean, it's probably not formatted correctly for VR, but...
Yeah, or, like, a scary game.
But that's
game
always been Nintendo's kind of MO, too, is to, like, not do the biggest, brightest, most cutting-edge thing. They're, like, always kind of, like, hold back a level and let everyone else figure that out.
Yeah.
And then just do their own weird thing because they can just sit on Mario and Zelda and people will buy those. Yeah.
They have a VR machine. It's called...
The 3DS?
No. It's called the Virtual Boy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I looked at one of those at a Sears and whenever it was out, it hurt my face.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember putting on like a VR helmet at one point and being like, Jesus Christ.
No thanks.
No. No thanks.
Never do.
Oh, I can play
again.
Mario Tennis on this? What? Why?
The easiest way to play the Virtual Boy is to lay on your back and have the Virtual Boy lay on your face. And then I think the only other news that I saw this week was...
Battlefield, right?
Yeah, Battlefield and Call of Duty both had launch trailers out this week. Call of Duty is going far into the future, and Battlefield is going to an alternative World War One history game.
Wait, it's alternative history?
It's an alternative history.
Oh.
It's not World War One. This is an alternative realities World War One.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we know what the specifics are of the alternate reality?
It just looks faster.
Like, sexier?
Sexier, a little sexier that way. It looks
steampunky.
Kind of steampunky, but not so steampunky where there's going to be like mechs or something,
right?
But like definitely more like
so not like Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel.
No, unfortunately not. Okay. I know that's what you're thinking, Clayton. You should watch the trailer. Like the biplanes that are moving in the trailer move like they're F-16s, where a biplane is like a giant box flying in the sky. Like it looks a lot sexier than I'm sure World War One was.
Yeah,
lots of horses. Ship battles.
Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes.
Yes. That is called Call of Duty 1 versus Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, which is kind of about colonization.
Yeah.
And but the catch is they're also re-releasing Modern Warfare, which is Call of Duty 4, with that.
Right.
So
if
you're into
God.
That.
I will play the World War One one. That seems cool.
That does sound fun. Man. I don't know,
but not
man.
Like not muskets. I mean, it'll be something. Like, there's tanks and there's you know. We'll see what happens. I mean, the trailer looks pretty interesting. So
yeah, sounds
rail guns.
Cool.
Yeah,
rail guns.
Oh,
rail guns.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so sweet.
Yeah, but that was the news that was fit to print.
Nice. So I asked Matt to come on today because we talked a little bit about an assignment he had recently at work where he had to play a lot of indie games. Matt, what was the assignment, by the way?
Well, I was actually. Through work, we made this app called Pocket Change USA for a group called Transformance, and it's all kind of about financial literacy, and it's gamified, and it's about you know, just teaching people how to be more financially responsible. And they submitted to this thing called Games for Change, which is a really cool organization that has different. They're going to be at Tribeca, and they're doing all sorts of cool things. And they once we kind of like. Started this back and forth with them. They're like, well, we have this other kind of like general game thing we do every year, and we want someone from your company to be a juror. So I ended up being a juror for this game contest, essentially.
Oh, nice.
So I got to play like 15 different games that are all kind of in the space of these are games about social change or about the way we, you know, interact or the way we teach or the way we learn. So there was some really cool stuff. There was some stuff that was broke as hell. They couldn't even play it.
You and I talked a little bit about
it. Was really interesting.
This War of Mine.
Yeah.
This War of Mine was on the list. It was like, that's probably the most like consumer facing one because it's like on Xbox and
you can get
it very easily. But yeah, I got to judge it and it was like a really weird experience. Have you guys played that at all?
I played a little bit. It was too much
intense.
For me.
It's intense. Really, I sat down and I was giving everything like an hour because I just, there was so much to play through. And I sat there and I think I played that for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I was like, I gotta keep this guy alive. He's so hungry and tired. I don't want him to die.
I was recommending.
Now I'm just making money hand over fist. I got home. I'm making money.
I was recommending that game to a buddy of mine, Adam Pasolka from New York, and he was like, "Oh, because he has another gamer friend." He's like, "I don't think I can tell my other buddy about that because he's a war refugee." And I was like, "Yeah, don't have him play that. I don't think that's a good idea.
It's not going to be a game for him."
Just
well, and a lot of
I'm sure he's heard of it. Just float it out by him, you know.
Well, that's the weird thing about it. Like, is it a game? And, like, they re-released a new version of it, and the version I played was called This War of Mine, The Little Ones.
The Little Ones, that's what I played,
Yeah, where it's, like, you can customize characters, and, like, some of the characters are kids, and it's like, why should I be able to customize a character in this thing? That's really weird. Like,
you come up with your dream team of, like, survivors, and, like, you can do your own scenarios to have to live through.
They XCOM'd it. That's what they did.
They
took those XCOM mechanics, and they're like, hey, people like this thing. Let's put it on this depressing game we have.
Yeah. But it's in that weird space of, like, should it be more of a game or should it be more of an experience? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like it should be locked down, and it's like, you don't get to make those decisions, and it's like you just experience this thing.
Yeah.
And there are game-like controls to it that let you make decisions and things, but like ultimately, like we're trying to share this concept with you, and you shouldn't be able to quote-unquote game the system. You know,
But how do you put that on YouTube, Matt? Come on, man.
That's true.
You know, how does PewDiePie make it cool?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
PewDiePie.
But there were some other really just like pretty far out ones. There was one that was all in ASCII. Style graphics, like so it's just all letters and numbers and things, and it was called You Must Be 18 to Enter. And it's a porn discovery simulation.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was again barely a game in the sense of like a traditional game. It's more of an experience. It's like it starts off with you like in your house. And then you, like, hear a car leave, and then, like, you get – it's like, what do you want to do right now? Do you turn off the TV? So you turn off the TV, and you get a little bit of text. It's like, well, what do you want to do now? Do you take a second and breathe? And, like, once you go through these kind of steps, it's like – it gives you a few options, and then you go into the room, and you turn on the computer, and it's in ASCII, so you're seeing these images that are semi-pornographic, but they're totally obscured. But you can kind of make out a face, and you know that there's a leg in one of them. You know, it's like, it's very weird.
That's awesome.
And the whole time, like, there'll be a sound and it's like, do you turn around? What do you do? And like, or like a bunch of pop-up windows show up. So it's like trying to like, kind of like give you this terrified experience. And and you're specifically supposed to be like a kid experiencing this. So it's kind of walking you through these prompts of, do you like what you're looking at? Do you not like what you're looking at? And it never like actually shows you or gets too graphic.
Sure, sure.
It gives you some names of websites, a little like iffy, but it's definitely, you know, not safe for work, even though that's where I played it.
that's part of your job.
Right. My job. But it was like, I'm not exactly sure what the audience for it is. Uh-huh. Like, is it supposed to be for kids and like, teach them something, or is it
for adults
like
who had that experience?
Right? We're reliving that experience.
Yeah, because I imagine that's not really akin to the current experience.
And did it feel like a teaching tool about sexuality?
I remember the description of this one because I kind of went back and read it after I played it, and it said something to the effect of, yeah, it was more like a nostalgic kind of thing, but also to kind of their premise was like, we're so closed off about sexuality, and
right.
that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's just all admit that we had this experience and then, like, move forward yeah. and, like, talk about these things in a more open and positive way. I don't know if it fully achieved
yeah.
that,
mm-hmm.
but it was definitely one that I thought was, like, really inventive and really interesting the way it approached a topic.
Sure.
And isn't that like how you that kind of like sketchy wavy details, you know, like of
yeah.
your young adulthood mm-hmm. sort of going through all those emotions? It's like that does kind of perfectly capture those
yeah,
like
it
memories.
Did. It really did.
Yeah.
It really did.
It's beautiful.
And also the you know, horrible dial up internet that we
yeah,
first
I was gonna
discovered
say, like,
the
internet. Feel like that's exactly who this game is for.
Yes.
Is whoever had that experience.
The,
yeah.
yeah.
Everybody yeah. in this room, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Look at you, Tim.
my mom called those bad websites, okay? So
what were you supposed to do?
Yeah, there was there was a lot of really cool ones. There was also I think I told Tim about this one too. There was one that was specifically more of a learning game.
Okay.
And it's not a consumer facing thing. It's like you can buy it for it's an art history game.
Hmm.
About
that sounds awesome.
Which mm-hmm. which I read that and I was like, oh my God. Rolled my eyes back in my head and was like, oh, okay, fine. I'll get through this. And it ended up being one of my highest rated ones.
That's great.
Because, like, it was beautifully mm-hmm. designed. The graphics of it were lovely. And it puts you in the role of, like, a banker in, like, Renaissance times.
Sure.
So your job is to buy different goods and trade different goods to make money so then you can be a patron. Not
that's
only to
awesome.
Artists,
yeah.
but to the church.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to balance, like, am I helping the church out too much or am I helping these weirdo artists mm-hmm. out too much?
Oh, man. It sounds amazing.
My favorite point in it was I backed a pope. Like, there's a text prompt.
Wow,
there's a text
great.
Prompt that goes, hey, your friend Jimmy wants to be the next pope. You going to give him 500 florins? And I'm like, hell yeah,
yeah.
give Jimmy 500 florins. It's like, oh, Jimmy becomes Pope Innocent III, and you're like, yes, awesome.
I know a pope.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I got a bunch of like points in my mm-hmm. church thing, and then, and I was like, in retrospect, like if I had been an actual art history student, I would not have backed this guy,
right?
Because like three turns later, they're like, oh, this guy's been found guilty of heresy. You are,
yikes.
There are two other guys vying mm-hmm. to be the pope. Do you stick by your guy, or do you? Or do you back one of these other popes? And I was like, oh, man, I don't. And it's
yeah.
real popes. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. So I try to back my guy. And they're like, no, he's in jail now. You're dead.
Oh, no.
That is amazing.
It was really great.
I love that.
It was like, oh, it's this way that it brings this thing that sounds like it's going to be kind of dry mm-hmm. and boring. It really brings it to life and it, like, make it very visceral. It was really cool
interactive
experience.
History. Oh, I mean, I guess the way you're talking about that makes me think of, like, Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, well, I don't think I'm learning about history or about geography, but – I guess I am because I'm doing this very silly thing.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, you definitely like probably needed to know some stuff
sure,
going into
sure.
it. Like some of that history stuff would have been really useful to me to navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But even just as a reinforcement tool of like, I've read some of this, I don't remember. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I remember Benedict. No, he's bad news.
Like if you gave that to art history students, I feel like that'd be a fun way to.
Yeah, of
yeah.
course. It was really great. And like I said, it just looked great.
Yeah.
All of the meters, mm-hmm. All of the meters were actual paintings.
Oh, that's great.
So like the paintings cool. would fill in with like these, you know, beautiful images when you were doing well.
Man.
Yeah, so that was really great.
When you talked about broken games, what made some of these, like, broken?
Oh, there was one that I'm not even sure what it was. That's sure. how broken it was. Like, I tried to open it, and it was, like, there's a bunch of images on my screen, and I can't tell what I'm supposed to do or, like, where things are.
I feel like there's got to be
like
a part
broken,
of your brain
broken.
That's like, oh, am I just not smart enough to mm-hmm. get this, or is it, yeah.
I definitely gave it a while, and it was like, I'm going to check all the system requirements because it's a little bit, you know, they're giving you like mm-hmm. codes and stuff to like access these things or maybe like it's kind of a beta test kind
sure,
of situation
sure.
or
yeah.
something. So I was like, well, let me make sure this – we have a bunch of Macs at work. So I'm like, let me try it on a Windows machine mm-hmm. and see if that works. Maybe it's supposed to only be on iPads or something. And I finally just was like, no, this just does not work.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably a thing of like they probably rushed to get it in and it was like
underfunded maybe.
Yeah,
or,
totally.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see like the wide array of things. One of the other big ones that's consumer facing that anyone can go do is that big there's that big online game, Eve.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you played that.
I played a section of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There is a there's a subset of it that's its own game now called I blanked on the name. Project Blank. If you're in the EVE Online, there's a section called Project.
Something. Yeah.
It's a little generic sounding, but essentially it's like citizen science built into the game.
Wow. Okay.
So it's this really cool idea of like, if your listeners are not familiar with citizen science, this concept that if like you group source certain tasks within the scientific community, you can get things done faster, you can solve problems faster.
Using the power of everyone.
Yeah, because it's not government funded. It's citizens saying, I will take this time and my own knowledge to get this thing done.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Project Discovery.
There. That was it. Go. Thank you so much.
No problem.
And it's already in the game. So, like, if you're playing the game, I could see it being really cool thing to do because you get bonuses for completing it. And all you're essentially doing is, like, there are these different images of cells that have been dyed, and you're sort of categorizing them. They, like, kind of take you through a tutorial of, like, here are all the different ways you can categorize what is happening in these pictures. There's, like, a red dye, a green dye, and a blue dye. And you're like, oh, okay, so if this part of the cell is mostly blue, it belongs in this area. If there's, like, green dots spread throughout and not clumped together, it goes in this area. If they're clumped together, it goes in this area. And you can kind of start parsing out these images into the correct categories.
It's like through gamification, you're like doing the work that they would normally be relegated for, delegated to like research students or something
right.
like that.
And,
yeah.
And there are potentially, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of these images.
Yeah.
And it's not like I put it in a category, Matt Young, the first day. And
right.
Like, now that's exactly where that category is. It's like thousands of people playing the game would categorize that same one, and I think then they go, oh, well, 80% of people put it here.
Sure,
that's
right,
probably
sure.
pretty close, and there's probably still some sort of, like, back-end, like, double verification, but it just gets a bunch of, like, busy work out of the way up top.
And it's outside of the EVE universe. This is real-life stuff, or is this...
It's real-life. It's real-life scientific research about these cells. I'm not going to remember all the background of it.
Sure.
But it's Project Discovery. Thank you, Cleo.
Yeah. No problem.
And but they have built it into the world of the game. There's like a character who kind of introduces you to it, and she's like, "We've got to get this done, and it'll help our people."
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really
so it's like
cool.
a weird hybrid of the two. It's really really smart, and like what a cool thing to say you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eve is one of those games where I am fascinated by it in terms of how many people play it like the world outside Eve that influences our world. People, if you're listening right now, you should really go on like Polygon or Kotaku and search Eve Online, like Total War. Like there are people all around the world who sign into Eve every single day who are having a war between two enormous factions that is going on, and it's galactic space level. And then there are people who dress up as like royalty in the real world and like get together. And it's not like cosplay. These people are actually these people in this world.
It's not on
intense.
The level of World of Warcraft, right? Or is it?
It's bigger than
really?
World of Warcraft in
wow.
terms of
I think it is now,
the
yeah.
amount of. Like World of Warcraft, I think there was an economy around World of Warcraft, but it was all based in World of Warcraft.
I think it was also easier for people to wrap their heads around
exactly.
World of Warcraft.
Whereas Eve is the scale is so big, in terms of what is going on, and the economy influences our own economy.
If you've ever looked at a YouTube video of like, there's YouTube videos like this is the greatest battle of Eve Online ever, and it just looks like. You know in It's a Wonderful Life when the angels are talking to each other?
Yes.
It's just like blinking lights in space.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I'm
like, okay, this seems great.
Yeah. And it's like, no, there's a million people in this battle right now.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
like they think they have – it's like – because you get close to it and it's almost like a thing where like your computer can't process it. There's so much stuff going
it's
on.
It's just chaos.
Yeah.
To do Project Discovery, I had to sign up for the one-month free trial.
Sure.
So like I got into it and I had to make a character and I had to like – it kind of took me through the tutorial of doing my ship. And I – I probably could have skipped some of that and just skipped to the discovery part, but I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to. I didn't know where to go because there's so many controls.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insanely complicated. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. It's a space battle thing. Yeah. And then I was like, I'm in way over my head. This is too deep. I'm a Lego guy.
Yeah.
I want to beat up a guy and get my studs and get the hell out of town. But, like, I could totally see how you could be super invested in it because it is so amazingly complex.
Right.
That you'd have to care to put that much work into it.
Yeah.
You know? It's really pretty cool, though.
That's how I felt playing Dota 2.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
I've tried to, and I started to dabble, and I started to get, like, kind of good, and I was like, I need to stop. This is, like, a whole world that I don't need to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
You have to, like, decide if you want to be, like,
yeah,
if
you
being
gotta, like,
good at
go
that is important
hard at
to you.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
It's almost like
the thing you do.
Because there are people who are professional, like, you know, Dota 2 players. Yeah. That's, how they make their money. And I'm just like, nah, man, I can't. I'm not in this to go pro, you know? Like, I don't care.
That,
it was so
that's
weird.
A whole thing that I don't understand is, like, going pro as a gamer. Yeah. Like, I mean, I get it on an intellectual level, but how do you make that leap? It's like becoming a professional athlete, and it's a weird, bizarre subculture that, like, I feel like even in 10 or 15 years is going to be, like, way, way bigger than it is.
Oh, well,
like,
there's
going to be legit, like, Michael Jordan level, like, video game celebrity.
Some guys have gotten busted for being, like, on Adderall or something like that during one of the games.
In South Korea, I think they banned all the drugs because they were noticing the kids were doing this so much. And there's a lot of really great documentaries. I even think Valve put out a documentary about The Last International, which I think you can find on YouTube and watch it. It's great. And it's people all over the world, and they have very different reasons for doing it, and they're all, like, from different backgrounds. And some people are like, oh, this is my dream, and some people are like, well, I lost my job, and I was depressed, and I started playing this game, and it became the thing I became obsessed with. Like, there is kind of an equalizer as opposed to, like, well, I was born with a body that was good for sports.
Right.
Yeah. There is an equalizer that allows all different types of people to play video games.
I feel like there's a through line of when I watch those documentaries. Everyone seems a little bit stressed out by this career.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's easy to do it.
I don't think so. No.
Because I think there's a level of being like, because there are so many people trying to get involved, if you can make it professionally, it's not like, I'm pro, I signed a contract. I think it's like, all right, now I'm here, now there's even more pressure.
And you're still, like, living probably, like, hand to mouth. It's 100%. Not like, you're making, enough money in a season to, like, support you for the whole year. You're probably, like, hustling from place to place.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine there will be a Ken Burns documentary 20 years from now about early Dota and League of Legends players.
Dear mother.
Simultaneous Civil War bits.
Oh, boy.
That was good.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
These fighting men, though I do not know them, I feel for them. Mary Chestnut.
Mary Chestnut. That's the best name.
Matt, you seemed like you grew up same sort of games we played, you know, systems and stuff like that. Do you like this new wave of indie games and, you know,
Indie experiences.
Indie experiences, Gone Home's maybe not so much a game. It's just sort of a fun
That
thing
Dragon
you
Cancer,
do.
Not so much a game.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's just like it's another medium for storytelling, which, you know, I think is awesome. It's weird because we don't quite have the semantics to handle it correctly yet.
Yeah.
And
it's a good way of putting
it. I don't quite understand. Me personally, I think it's weird that people are upset at the people who made that Dragon Cancer.
Right.
But I also understand, like, to some people, if you tell them it's a game, they expect it to be Monopoly.
Right.
You know, and the fact that a game is this other thing, it breaks their brain and they go, it's weird, and then they vote for Trump. You know, it's kind of like that simple. It's like you've got a limited experience.
Yeah.
And we don't have quite all the language around it to say, like, well, this is an online virtual experience because that sounds clumsy and weird. And the
a
same
walking people, simulator. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
Right.
And it's like, and the same people who are making that might also be making
Yeah.
Halo. Yes, their day job. Yeah. You know, like, so, like, there's this weird overlap of, like, game creators are making a wide range of things, and we don't quite have the words to describe that wide range of things.
Isn't it interesting, though, like, I know so many people in my life where it's like, I would love it if you played a That Dragon Cancer or a Firewatch, mm-hmm. but you're never going to want to do
No,
that.
Never. And it's interesting. It's the same way of, like, you want to give someone you care about or someone you think could enjoy it, like,
a movie or a book or an album,
but they just don't have the sort of emotional resonance for it. Or I think you put it well. It's like the lexicon, like the language isn't there for them. And some of these experiences, I think Gone Home, anybody could play just because it's a little bit about exploration. But games like Firewatch or That Dragon Cancer, there's plenty of other games out there that are just obscure isn't the right word, but they blur those lines of game and kind of interactive experience that some people going into it, if they were going in wanting to have an experience, it might be too gamey for them or vice versa. And it just, they don't know how to handle it. The same way I'm sure was when people hear a new version of music, listening to jazz for the first time, they're like, well, what the fuck is this? I don't get this. You know, they don't have the language for it. And
this isn't music. Isn't that the same cranky old fucking argument?
Or they're listening to a symphony and they're like, what's riot in the street? Because we don't fucking know how to handle this.
Yeah.
You know, it will be, I'm glad that there are younger people involved in these sort of processes because they will come up knowing this, and then when they start making games, that will just be built into their DNA.
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
You know.
And I've even found this at my job. We sort of hinted at this, but I work at a software developer, and our job is to make online training for like big corporations and stuff. And we talk a lot about gamification and making things game-like that aren't necessarily games. The thing I find is, even within my company, there are people who, like, don't really want to play games or don't understand games. So I started having a board game night because I'm a huge board game nerd. And I love introducing people to things. But the thing I've learned is, like, you have to figure out the right path for people. Like, I can't sit you down and play Dead of Winter.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you're going to be like, fuck this. It's way too complicated. I hate you. I hate this game.
Someone just betrayed us all.
And now I hate games.
Yeah.
Like, blanket, I hate games. So it's like, you can't say like, oh, you played Super Mario Brothers, you're going to love That Dragon Cancer. Yeah. It's like, you've got to like go, okay, maybe you need to play like Psychonauts, and then you need to play Device 6, and then you need to like, somehow there is a path to get to
absolutely.
That.
There's
an entry point.
And you got to figure out like what that is and how to get people there.
And you can see that in That Dragon Cancer because there are elements. I mean, there is a platformer. There is a kart racing section. There are game elements to kind of bring you back into a hard sort of story.
It's the same with like, you know, you don't start a little kid in video games with like, you know, something like super uber complicated. They don't understand. They don't know how to do. You give them Minecraft and you're like, just fuck around.
Well, you don't give a 6-year-old Ulysses.
Exactly.
Like, you work up to that stuff. You got to figure out the easier stuff.
Yeah, you develop your tastes. It is this whole thing. I remember like playing Chrono Trigger for the first time, and that was like a discovery of like JRPGs, and I was like, wow, I fucking love these. And I tried to play like Western RPGs, and I was like, these are weird. I don't like these as much. You know, and it's just like, even though they're so similar, I still like drew the line in the sand like, nope, I don't like this. I want to have like a party.
Gotta have big anime eyes.
Where's the girls with the cat ears?
I want a princess with a pendant. Okay.
Crazy hair, or I'm out of here. Was the main character not using the sword? Fuck this game, man.
Come on, man.
I remember playing like Suikoden, and the main character uses a staff, and you're what's going
on? Wait a minute.
You betrayed me for the last time, Japan. Such a weird thing. All this is, he's not using a sword, but you're like, no, fuck this, dude. What is it? What is this shit? Oh, it's so funny.
Who made this game?
Then Suikoden 2. Tonefa? I don't even know what the fuck that is. good times.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
To talk about some games. If people want to find you on the internet, where can they find you?
You can listen to my podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern, or you can listen to my podcast, Improvise Star Trek. I play various weirdos on those shows.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You can follow me on Twitter at More People Happy. Which I got because a Korean person hacked my Twitter account about 5 years ago, and I was like, I like that handle. I'm just going to keep it.
Yeah. Awesome. Clayton, anything to plug?
You got late 90s Wednesdays at 10:30 at I.O. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Kellen.
Dr. Tarrant at Twitter. Nothing on the docket right now, but more fun stuff coming up soon. Tim?
Kellen Tarrant at twitter.com.
Yes. Yes, I'm the one who does twitter.com. That's my handle. I got it first, day one.
May 18th, Creme de la Creme comedy at I.O.
This random guy, they're like, oh, we're getting millions. Just we want the Twitter handle back.
Not going to give it back.
Nope. Sorry, man.
No, I know you made the API. I'm sure you could hack into this and get me out, but not going to let you do it. Changing that password every hour.
This guy somehow immediately squatted on the handle of the company that made it. All right, we built everything. Everything's ready to go. Now we just have to sign ourselves in.
Hey, Bob. Why are you fucking? Somebody took our.
What the fuck?
Somebody took our Twitter handle.
What do you mean Twitter_1 is the only available? Come on.
Giving us suggestions of our zip code? No, fuck this. How you doing this? Oh, my God.
Tim, where can we find you?
Tim was trying to plug something.
Creme de la Creme comedy, May 18th at I.O. And then follow me at Medium, Timothy R. Dunn. Next week, I don't know what we're doing. Clayton,
we got to do user questions at that point, yeah, because it's May.
Yes, questions. Mm-hmm. And Clayton, are you going to get Uncharted 4?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think so. It looks.
I'll pick it up. We'll talk about it.
Hell yeah. Good. Yeah.
Great.
Rock and roll.
Hell yeah.
Matt, thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
Let's get crazy now.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today, and go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.